fourth message will come from the Gospel of Mark, and read in verses 33, chapter 15, verses 33. I know your brochure probably says 34, but I'll continue all the way down to verse 39. And it reads, "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the night hour, the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he is calling Elijah.' One man ran, filled a sponge with vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down,' he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And when a centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" Let us pray. Father in heaven, we truly thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of your Son. Father, we thank you for the ways in which you continue to speak life to us. And as you continue to speak even to us through your divine word today, as you have spoken so many years ago. Father, I pray for those who probably have come here tonight with any form of suffering. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would know as they hear these last seven sayings that, Lord, that you are one who is able to relate to their suffering, that you are one who is able to relieve and redeem them. Father, we just thank you for this time. Just pray, Lord, as we continue to minister to you tonight in word, that you will continue to be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things we can all testify to is that suffering is not easy. Pain, being the very thing that we try to avoid at all costs. The truth is, we've all have had to suffer at some point in our lives. Some might even consider or even perceive that they have suffered more than others. But the question is, when you are suffering, how do you tend to respond? Do you use drugs, hoping to ease the pain that you are enduring? Do you overindulge in food? Do you displace or project your discomfort on another? Or are you like myself? I've, for almost 20 years, have stuffed and hid the pain and discomfort that I was experiencing, hoping that someday that pain and discomfort would somehow dissipate. So how do you tend to respond in the midst of suffering? In the midst of suffering, people tend to respond in two ways, regardless of the form. They either respond in faith or they respond with fear. Both responses are natural and normal when suffering. However, only one is commendable. Those who I like to call faith responders, these are those who rely on the promises and on the word of God. They don't allow the situation or the circumstances that they're going through to detour their faith in God. These are those who have hope in the things that are unseen. The definition for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. On the other hand, you have those who are what I like to call fear responders. These are those who do not trust in the word of God. They don't trust that God is able They deceive themselves to believe that God doesn't have the ability to help them overcome the situation that they're in. And in situations of despair, fear responders are those who allow the spirit of fear to overtake them. And I wonder sometimes why the Bible continues to remind us to do not fear, to fear not, and to not be afraid. One of the things I love about the Gospel of Mark is the way the author portrays Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, is portrayed as this servant who is constantly on the move. He's also portrayed as one who is instantly responsive to the will of the Father. That as Jesus is teaching and preaching and healing, he is fulfilling and ministering to the needs of others. If the Gospel of Mark is to be told in one verse, it would be, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all." Jesus' life, as told in Mark, is that of both service and sacrifice. Now, we see that Christ is on a cross, and he has willfully given himself as a sacrifice for all. And in the midst of suffering, what do we hear Jesus cry out? He cries out with a loud voice and he says, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And without knowing much, Jesus' cries is such an appearance of one who is anguished individual who is lamenting. And if we were to just take Christ's words for itself, it would seem as if one is just questioning God on their suffering. And as we see that some who have heard Jesus cry from the cross perceive that he was calling to Elijah for help. And over the course of history, some have taken this cry as the fulfillment of the opening line in Psalms 22 and the rest of the psalm. Noting that in the midst of David's life, in the midst of while King David was suffering, he spoke of this innocent servant who was suffering and who was looking and trusting that God was going to be able to deliver him, hoping to one day be vindicated. If, in fact, Jesus is quoting Psalms 22, we must also consider that he is reminding himself, even while hanging on the cross, the rest of Psalms 22, which simply states that God is able to deliver those who sincerely seeks out to him. And that God is one who hears the cries of his people. Toward the end of the psalm, we see that this vindicated servant, one who looks forward to telling forth God's praises amongst these people that are assembled. And if Psalms 22 is seen as not only as a lamenting but as a praise, we must also therefore imply that Christ's cry from the cross is a hopeful message. Christ's suffering and vindication is part of God's redemptive work in the world. So as those who would have heard the message from the Gospel of Mark, they would have been hopeful in the midst of their suffering. It's this idea that even though I know that I'm going to have to experience suffering, I still have the hope that I will be vindicated if I don't lose heart. So how does Christ respond in the midst of suffering? Does he respond in fear or in faith? Surely Christ knows why he feels this divine abandonment. He also knows that in 3 days he would be raised again. He He knows why he's experiencing what some might call God-forsakenness. And just as he knows all those things, he also knows that his death on the cross is not the end of the story. And that's the good news, that even in the midst of your suffering, no matter how much or how hard it might be, you have to know that that is not the end of the story. And as I close tonight, I want to draw your attention back to Exodus 3. It is after the Lord calls Moses from the burning bush that wasn't consumed, and he reveals himself to Moses. But shortly after that, he explains to Moses his reasoning of his visitation. In chapter 3, verse 7, here's the word of the Lord. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And listen carefully. He says, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." And then he tells them the places. And he continues and says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel have come to me, and I also have seen the oppression in which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you," notice the imagery of Christ, "to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And as God has sent Moses to deliver his people from the bondage of a Pharaoh, God so did send his son, Jesus Christ, to deliver his people from the bondage of Satan, from sin. And if God heard the cry of his people, his children, who cried out to him in faith in the midst of their suffering, could God not hear the cry of his one and only son, the faithful one? Or has God forsaken his son? The good news is that God never forsakes those who cries out to him with a broken spirit. The Bible clearly states that with a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise. He never did in the Old Testament. God never forsook those in the New Testament. So if you are seeking God sincerely with a broken heart, you now have that hope that God would not turn his back on you. And by believing in his son, God has given us his spirit that we would be able to endure the suffering. Now the question becomes, when you are suffering, how will you respond? And before you answer that question, I want you to consider one thing. Notice the words of the centurion who stood near the cross and watched Jesus as he suffered. I like to believe that the reason the centurion was able to declare what he declared was because how he saw Christ suffer on the cross. He declares that truly this is the Son of God. That because of the way Jesus responded in the midst of suffering, the centurion was able to see that God is able.